foot of snow in some places. Meanwhile, ice and freezing rain are causing headaches for some drivers in the panhandle of Texas and New Mexico. This is USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. And it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The State Department says the Trump administration's maximum pressure campaign against Iran is working. During a briefing, Special Representative Brian Hook says the Iranian regime is in a deep economic crisis.
The Iranian people have now sent us over 88,000 tips through the tip line that the Secretary established back in November. We use this information to expose the criminality of the regime and to hold violators accountable.
With the impeachment trial of President Trump set for Tuesday, many Democrats are calling for witnesses, including former National Security Advisor John Bolton. Republican Senator from South Carolina Lindsey Graham is not a fan, citing executive privilege.
Now they want John Bolton to come forward in the Senate to destroy executive privilege. Any president would claim executive privilege over the testimony of their National Security Advisor. They didn't even subpoena Bolton, and they're expecting us, Republicans, to destroy President Trump's privilege.
And you're listening to USA Radio. News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The Ukrainian foreign minister is dismissing Lev Parnev, who says that President Trump personally directed an effort to ask Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden, saying he's never met him, nor does he trust anything he says.
It's all Ukrainian media as well, today and yesterday. And strangely enough, my name was not mentioned, although I'm Minister of Foreign Affairs. And frankly, I never spoke with this individual. And again, frankly, I don't trust any word he is now saying.
The foreign minister speaking there on CNN. President Trump is hosting the LSU Tigers at the White House on Friday.
Today, it's about the coach and the team and that unbelievable quarterback, unbelievable players. It's really my great privilege to welcome to the White House the college football national champions, the Louisiana State University Tigers.
During a White House ceremony, the president says LSU has great players and coaches. LSU defeated Clemson Monday night in New Orleans, 42-25. President Trump also praises LSU quarterback Joe Burrow.
60 touchdowns. I've never even heard of that. 60. In a single season, averaging a touchdown every quarter, and won the Heisman Trophy by the largest margin in the history of the Heisman Trophy.
For more news, you can find us on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon. It's Friday the 17th, another exciting football weekend for some of us. And here I'm Pat Spitz with I'm one of the sports guys, and Bill will be joining us shortly, and John promised he would be here. I just listened to the news and heard that the president had the LSU team at the White House. I won't make a comment on that, but I will make a comment on the weather. As far as there should be increasing clouds this afternoon, tonight, cold, low around 16 degrees. Now, we really can't complain. They're just Wisconsin, Minnesota. I think they've been dumped about a foot of snow, and that's a lot of snow when it comes down one time. So, however, tomorrow there should be snow before 4 p.m., and then snow possibly mixed with sleet. Problem is it's going to be high of about 37 degrees, so some of that snow is going to melt, and then the question is whether it's going to freeze. Should be freezing tomorrow night, and then chance of precipitation is 100% tomorrow. However, new snow and sleet accumulation of only about 1 to 3 inches, so really that's nothing compared to what they're getting hit with out in the Midwest. So rain and snow likely on Saturday night, and that's a problem because if it's mixed with sleet before 10 p.m. and then a chance of rain between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. Really could be a mess. And then there's another chance of rain and snow after 4 a.m. So Saturday night is not the night to drive. By Sunday, again, a chance of snow between 7 a.m., or I should say before 7 a.m. Then partly sunny, high of about 38 degrees, and there's about a 30% chance of precipitation. But little or no snow should be accumulated. So if you're going to go somewhere to watch football on Sunday, should be fine. By Martin Luther King on Monday, the Martin Luther King Day on Monday, mostly sunny. So those of you who have the day off of work, should be a nice, crisp, clear day, 32 degrees. And Bill has just joined me. Bill, where are you watching football this weekend? Oops, wait a minute. Wait. Let me put you on the...
Let's get me up and running here.
Get you up and running. And so what are your plans for football this weekend?
Well, I'm going to be watching the Packer game, that's for sure, and rooting for your Green Bay Packers against San Diego. San Francisco. I misspoke.
I wish it was San Diego.
I wish it were too, but...
No, actually...
Frisco looks like a good team.
Well, what I really, I think the 49ers are just awesome. And what I had hoped for, and you know me, it's very difficult for me to root for Minnesota. But I have to tell you, I was rooting for Minnesota because if they had won the game, they would have been playing in Green Bay on Sunday against the Packers, and obviously the Packers have a much better chance of beating the Vikings for the third time this year in Green Bay, in Lambeau, I should say at Lambeau Field, than their chances against the 49ers in Santa Clara.
Well, I think the most interesting thing about the Packer 49er game is going to be the joust, for lack of a better word, between Garoppolo and Za'Darius Smith.
Both Preston and we call them the Smith brothers.
I know they're not brothers. Preston Smith. I was getting to Preston.
Yep.
But Za'Darius Smith seems to have a way of evading a block with a spin, or maybe it's just total upper body strength. and somehow getting into the backfield. He's a major disruption for Green Bay.
Oh, well, so was Preston Smith. In fact, it seemed, if I'm right, if I recall, didn't both of them have two sacks the last game?
Yeah.
I think they did. I mean, if you... But they're double whammy. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think that the NFC Championship game is going to be what I'm going to call a sack fest. I think you've got Nick DeBosa and Dee Ford on the Niners, both good athletes. I don't think they're in the class of your Smith brothers, but they're pretty good.
Well, let's hope not, because the problem is the 49ers are really awesome.
Well, remember.
But I think they're the best of the four teams playing this weekend.
I think so, too. See, the thing I like about January football is you don't get any bad teams. You don't.
No, and I think the Packers, I mean, nobody was talking about the Packers. If you listen to what was going on, it was like they were talking about all the other teams. Nobody was talking about the Packers. And granted, Aaron Rodgers had a really poor, I can't say the first word, but the blank poor game against the Lions on the, I think that was the 28th of December. I mean, that was a real, they barely won the game. Aaron was totally off that day. I think he would take all the blame for how poorly that game. I mean, he really played a poor game. So
I think he had the flu or something, because it wasn't a good game. I watched that game, and it was almost unwatchable. What I will tell you, though, is that the Packers now have a running game. They've got the guys to do the blocking. They've survived all of the people who they've let go or who moved on from them were excellent players.
No, I don't agree with that. And the reason I don't...
They're in the Final Four.
They are...
How can you... You may miss those guys. You may have a sentimental attachment to them. But football's a business. And I think these Packers mean business.
Yeah, but who does he have to throw to? Think about it. Everybody is going to be defending... They double-team Adams. He just doesn't have anyone on who's totally...
You're talking
reliable.
About anybody besides Davante Adams?
Right, I am.
Okay.
I mean, Graham once in a while, but he, you know, he used to have four guys that he could routinely go to. There was always someone, and as you know, see the shirt I'm wearing today? I did it purposely.
The Jordy Nelson shirt.
Nelson.
Okay, well, I understand that, but you know, you no longer have a single dimensional Packer offense. You've got a running game, which you haven't had for years.
That's true.
And that means that the defensive backs have to watch out for that play option, number one. Number two, Davante Adams will never replace Jordy Nelson in everybody's hearts and souls, but he's a great football player.
I'm not saying that he's not. He is a great player.
You've got Graham, who is like a Zach Ertz type of possession receiver. And I will tell you that Graham helped on that last drive.
I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying that they need one more. And I think they should have kept Jordy Nelson. I have to tell you.
Well, but they've moved on. But they've moved on.
I walk in and you guys are talking about things that are no longer in existence here. And I'm just worrying about the existential factor involved in our show.
No. Wait. We're talking about the San Francisco Packer game this weekend.
Of course you are.
Of course you are. And it does exist.
It's the only game, I think, although people in Kansas City might see that differently. But obviously, I think that's the big game. In fact, that's the late game, right?
Yeah. Kansas City is a late game. That's going to be
No. I think the Packers game is the late game because that's the feature game. But
the Packers, don't they start at like 6:40?
I think it's after 6, yeah.
6:40
But, you know, the Chiefs-Titans game is going to be very interesting.
I absolutely agree.
Well, it's either going to be very interesting or it could very well be a blowout where Mahomes just runs that Chiefs offense down, up and down the field. I mean, if you look at what they did against the Titans, it's pretty amazing. But it sounded like you guys were really going at it here.
What do you mean what they did against the Titans?
Well, I mean, they outscored them 51-7. No, what the Chiefs did against the Titans.
No, they're playing the Titans.
What the Chiefs did against the Texans.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
The Texans.
And oh, when they came roaring back. Remember, they were down 22-0.
Was it 24-0?
And they came roaring back, and they ran out of fireworks. They scored so many touchdowns in Kansas City.
Actually, exactly. That's very good, Bill.
That game cost a little fight in my family because I had to work. And so I had Dave supposedly taping the game. What do you do now? DVR taping, whatever you do.
And how do you tape a game like that when you hear everybody screaming and you're running in,
but
I'm sure.
I wasn't around. So anyway, he was supposed to do it, and then I was going to watch it later. So I saw bits of it, literally bits, and then found out that he said he couldn't tape the game because he also wanted to tape the Packer game. And, of course, I don't know. So I've yet to see, you know, I did know that they were down 24-0. And then at the end, I knew, wasn't it 51-30? I mean, I couldn't believe.
They outscored them 51-7. So I think tack on 7-24. And I think it was 51-31.
You needed an average. Those were the most points scored in a playoff game ever in the AFC.
Yeah, he scored 28 points in the second quarter, set all kinds of offensive records, and you needed an abacus to really keep track of that. I mean, the Kansas City offense, they're three plays and 70 yards. And they got a good return game, so they set up the offense. But again, back to Green Bay, actually in San Francisco, the major obstacle that I want to hear about from our expert folks on the Packers is, how is the Packer offensive line going to give Aaron Rodgers even 3.2 seconds?
Yeah, I think
that is going to be the problem. So it seems to me, I will offer you a tidbit where I think he, you know, first down, take the snap, roll right. Second down, take the snap, roll left, and then continue to mix it up. Screen passes, that tends to slow down a pass rush. And you have to be very, very accurate.
Well, at least now, although I love to watch Rodgers pass, at least they have a run game. You know,
They need it to keep that pass rush honest. They really have to. Without a run game, there's absolutely no way. Look at what the Minnesota Vikings did, though, with Dalvin Cook.
Right.
They did nothing against that team. And, right. And if you're the Packers, you have to be looking at it saying, wait a minute, one of the top backs in the league was held to, what, 20 yards, I think? And just, of course, Cousins doesn't have the tools that Aaron Rodgers does, but he was made to look less than ordinary.
Well, I actually, you guys know me. You know how hard it was. I was, of course, rooting for the Vikings. Because had they won, the game would have been at Lambeau Field on Sunday. I mean, I think, frankly, and I hate to say it, but as I said to Bill, I think the 49ers are the best team out there.
Well, I think on paper they are, and given the momentum they are, the way they've dominated. The only glitch was they did get beat by Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, and of course they got beat by the Packers.
Right.
So, But that was a squeaker. I mean, you can't imagine.
If you played that game seven times, Seattle might win four of them.
But the Packers won the
game that counted.
Yeah, but we were worried that if the game had been another 15 minutes.
There's no question if the game had even five more minutes to play.
Because Wilson was the Seahawks.
Had the Seahawks won that game, Bill, I think, and
They won the Eagles game only because of Russell Wilson.
Had they beaten the Packers and gone in and even played credibly against San Francisco, but certainly if they beat San Francisco, I think you really can make a strong case for Russell Wilson as the MVP this year.
Oh, I
think so too.
Agree.
I think Russell Wilson helped them survive the Eagles, who are a good team, banged up, but still game. Russell Wilson lost. Not because of Russell Wilson, but because of the guys around him.
Oh, I mean,
he's amazing. He was an escape artist at least 30 times in that game.
Yeah, he's healthy this year. Last couple, he hasn't been. This year, he had a little bit better of a line. And the amazing thing about Seattle, and you all know that I'm not a big Pete Carroll fan, but they brought back Marshawn Lynch, who was out for 18 months.
But he didn't do anything.
No, but inside the 5-yard line with that frame, he was pushing it in the end zone. They got as much mileage out of him as you possibly could.
I thought the Packers really, held him.
Maybe in the Packer game, they had, because their defensive line is strong. But I'm saying is, bringing Marshawn Lynch back the last, was it, 8-10 games, they got plenty of mileage.
They did. No question about it. But I don't think he did nearly as well as they thought he would against the Packers. Wilson played for Wisconsin. So I've always
Yes, he did. And you see, you have a little soft spot there for Russell Wilson.
But is amazing.
And he also was a Green Bay Packer, wasn't he not?
No.
Oh, was he drafted by Seattle?
He was drafted
by Seattle. Maybe he was a Packer.
No. They would never have let him go.
Okay.
But the point is, and I have not watched all of the Seattle games this year, but nobody can, every time I've seen him, nobody can contain him. I mean,
he's too athletic.
He is
a better, and again, this is getting back to the Lamar Jackson thing. Jackson is another RG3. I said this back in September when he was, beginning to emerge as a major force. I said, wait a minute, this guy, I could put this guy down. I mean, he is not going to have the durability. And I think if you look the last few years, you get these running quarterbacks and they're good. They'll win some regular season games. But still, the big advantage that Rodgers has is he is a drop-back quarterback with escapability.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And remember something else. He's got a running game now. Aaron Jones is excellent. The beauty of the Green Bay Packer offense for me for years and years was their third down productivity.
Well, now
they don't have to throw on first or second. They can hand the ball off. Suddenly the defense has to be honest.
Yeah, but
I think that's
remember,
a good point, Bill.
That last game, they won it in those last two
minutes,
plays where they made it on
two third downs.
Two third downs.
Yeah, they salted the game away.
They took the game out of the Seahawks' hands.
Yeah,
that was all Rodgers.
Rodgers putting the ball right where his receiver had to have it, because the Seattle defense had good coverage.
Right,
but if you put the ball in the breadbasket, there's nothing a defensive back can do.
Let me tell you, Graham made one heck of a catch on the sidelines and keeping his feet in bound as he has control of the ball with 2 minutes to go. Phenomenal play.
But he's not consistently catching the ball. But getting back to Wilson, I have to tell you, I'm surprised he hasn't gotten hurt.
Well, that's the knock on any running quarterback. But he has some durability. Plus, he's very smart. He's an intelligent player.
Right.
He knows how to take a hit. He knows how to get down. And again, I was watching in the Philadelphia game. Okay, Bill, with all due respect, again, there's a reason Carson Wentz was a Division II quarterback, all right? This guy's going head first. Russell Wilson is sliding like a baseball player. Who gets a concussion gets put out of the game? Here's a guy with a history replete with injuries, and he's leading with his chin.
But you cannot, not that hit. I mean, that hit.
I don't know. I saw it a couple of times, and the irony of it is the Eagles supposedly are in the market to get Clowney in the off season. Now the talk is that they're, because of that hit, they're not going to go near him, which I think, I don't know. I suppose that's probably from a fan point of view the right thing. Because, let's put it this way. Clowney can't come within 100 miles of Philadelphia without being concerned for his life.
Well, remember something. Philadelphia loves a winner. And the more of a bad you-know-what you are to the other team, the more they'll like it. Remember, this is a team that welcomed back Michael Vick.
Well, the question then becomes, Bill, if Carson Wentz is your starting quarterback and they pick him up, how do they be teammates?
Well, it's interesting. I think they both suck.
I
think they both suck it up and move on. But you know, we haven't talked about the other game.
Well, we have a few breaks.
We're going to have a break right now, and then
when
we'll
come back,
back
we'll do some shout outs and some philosophy of the day.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back. You know, one of the things, guys, I don't think we did a very good job predicting. No, last week, of course, I was the only one here. But I think we all thought that the Ravens
You didn't predict the Packer victory last week, Pat?
No. I always predict the Packer victory. But I really thought the Ravens were going to win that. I thought they were, were headed for that championship.
Yeah. Well, I think we do a pretty good job overall, and we also want to thank everybody out there who's listening. And we do have fans in all kinds of places these days, and we appreciate the listening and the audience participation and all the support that we get. From, godforsaken places like Boston and even Greenwich, Connecticut. So we do appreciate that. And
well, you mean that Brady, who's moved to Greenwich, is now listening to our program.
Perhaps Tom Brady is now that he's not playing, perhaps he's listening from Greenwich as he's moving in. I'm sure he's moving all furniture himself.
Well,
you know?
Should have somebody in Greenwich walk by his house with a big
and take
sign.
A photograph.
Listen,
well, you never know.
Listen to the sports guys.
Yeah,
maybe
you never know.
Hey,
but
I think we ought to show up there for Halloween. Wearing Tennessee Titans uniforms.
Oh, Bill, that's cruel. That's funny, but that's cruel. But then again, you're a Philadelphia Eagle fan.
Exactly.
But you know,
folks,
we're on the eve of Championship Sunday, and you know, for most football fans such as us, that is a big day. And for those of you who know me, including my partners here, Bill and Pat, you know that I believe that sports mirrors life. And the biggest thing about sports, we do get a lot of pleasure and enjoyment out of it, but there is that old saying, something about the agony of defeat and the thrill of victory and agony of defeat.
I heard that somewhere.
That brings to mind that famous image of the skier on the slope of ABC Wild World of Sports. But you know, sports mirrors life in that we have as many failures as we do successes in life. And, you know, you could look around the league right now and you see some pretty good players sitting home, not playing this Sunday. And, you know, I've always been one, just to tennisize it, I believe, you know, it's better to play and lose the match than not play tennis at all. And sometimes in life, it's better to play and lose than not to play at all at all levels.
Yeah, well, you're just hoping that because you have a high draft pick, what is it? What's it going to be?
Well, the Giants are picking at number 4, so
okay.
They.
Well, I'm just hoping that maybe someone will allow the Packers to trade up to get Jonathan Taylor. You know, there are going to be some really interesting, where we can talk about that, obviously, a little bit later, but they're going to be...
Is he the big pass rusher?
He's the guy that has his great statistics in Wisconsin as far as running.
Oh, the running back. He was big in the bowl game. But he set all kinds of... Didn't he fall like 6 yards short of the record?
Well, I think he had 6 yards less than.
But you want to know what Mr. Taylor's problem is going to be?
Too small?
No, because you know you can look around the league, and nobody is going to say that Zeke Elliott is huge either. I think people are going to look at the Saquon Barkley pick, and at the time the Giants made the pick, there were more people against the pick than in favor of the pick, on the theory that the quarterback is the most important position. The second most important position is probably left guard. And the third most is the edge pass rusher. After that, the other 19 positions really don't matter. Maybe you'd put running back at 4. But the problem is you took a bad Giants team, you put a Barkley on there, and look what they've done the last 2 years.
Right.
So, but that might be based on a false premise, because even if the Cowboys were 1-15 under Troy Aikman is for sure. The point being, the bad teams produce bad records. So you add a top five draft pick, that's not going to change the fortunes overnight. The only sport that happens in is basketball. You know, if you get the number one overall pick, you can take a losing team and you may not win a championship, but although the Milwaukee Bucks with Lou Alcindor turned it around in like 3 years, and a few other instances like that. But basketball, because there's so few players and the nature of the game where one guy can control it so much, even in baseball, you know, if you get the top pitcher. And I think the Yankees will prove this year. They went out and spent $300 million. There's absolutely no guarantee. This guy picks up the ball once every 5 days. On football, you know, not only is your running back on the field only half the time because the offense is only on the field about half the time, but you can't hand it off to him every time. So he may get 15 or 20 touches a game out of 80 plays.
Well,
I think that is going to hurt Mr. Taylor.
Well,
because
you know,
that's just the prevailing theory right now.
I would love to have the Packers pick him up because I just think
I don't think there's a chance. I think he will fall to the mid or lower part of the first round.
Well, the Packers are going to be, hopefully they're going to be number 32.
Correct. At 30 or 31, 32, if he's there, probably a value pick at that level.
Well, but
that's true.
What's also amazing to me, and I know you always say coaching, 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 and of course you know what I think about McCarthy, so my daughter and my grandson, who are Cowboy fans, are pleased that he's going. But one thing I have to say is I think that the Cowboys have a number of excellent players, and it was amazing to me that
that's why Jason Garrett got fired, because he had talent
after
to work
10
with.
Seasons.
Not necessarily. I mean, at best, the Cowboys are the third, perhaps the fourth best team in the NFC.
But stars.
But they should have made the play. They were better than 9-7, and they should have at least been 10-6, if not 11-5, with that talent. Won the division, and they might still be playing right now. So I think Jerry Jones had enough. I rarely agree with Jerry Jones, but in this instance, I think he made the right decision.
Well, I'm not saying that he should have gotten rid of the coach, but you know my thought about McCarthy. Unfortunately, he might go in and have a winning season only because they do have such talent.
Well, you know, I got to be honest with you. I think Jones is right about Dak Prescott, and he wouldn't pay him the huge money. And look what Dak Prescott did. He's got Zeke Elliott in the backfield, very good defense, and they went 9-7. So, I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. He's probably in the top half of the league, top 15, top 16 quarterbacks. But, you know, he wants to be paid like a top 5 quarterback. He's just not there. He doesn't make those clutch throws. You know, nobody's ever going to think of Dak Prescott for an Eli Manning-type throw, Tom Brady-type throw, Rodgers, any of these guys. Yeah, you don't put him in that car. He's clearly a second-class quarterback. But with that talent, to your point, Pat and Bill, to your points, he should have done better. And I think Jason Garrett suffered the inevitable fate there.
Well, Jason Garrett never impressed me as a coach, first of all.
Well, what the heck? He's a Princeton guy. What do you
expect? Was the players that he had made him look better than he really was. How do you manage to have a losing season and be 8-8 with an Ezekiel Elliott? Tremendous running back, tremendous speed, very shifty.
Well, it isn't even so much that, Bill. It, to your point, though, with Zeke Elliott and that offensive line.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, because you can say the same thing about the Giants. How did they wind up, what were they, 5-11?
Yeah.
With Saquon Barkley in the backfield.
Exactly.
Well, because you have no offensive line.
Right.
Well, but here's the thing. Dallas offensive linemen are not as bad as they looked this season. Yeah, they had some
injuries.
Injured.
They were
banged
up.
No question they were banged up, but I don't think they were well coached. You could see that they were making mistakes.
Bill, I think it was just a function of injury. They're all pros on the offensive line. They've been dominating for years.
Exactly.
They were just a series of injuries that dropped. I don't think I wouldn't weigh that the coach.
I disagree completely. Here's why.
Okay.
Here's why.
How do you take a bunch of all pros and suddenly miscoach them? I'm not sure I follow that.
But take the injured guy out of the equation. Now you've got a backup who's there because he's almost as good as the all-pro guy. But he's a backup. You can coach
him up
guys
to
right.
all-pro.
No.
The whole
you may not be able to coach him to be an all-pro,
hole, so
but you can coach him
weakness.
To give Prescott 3.5 seconds to get rid of the ball or to hand it to Elliott. You can begin to design plays around these weaknesses and to the strength some of these guys have.
But I think, Bill, the problem, and again, I respectfully disagree, that Dallas offensive line is so talented that their plays were designed for men who have the physical attributes of that line. You just can't plug it with backups who can perform the physical at the physical level of their starters.
You hit the right word. The plays were designed. That's where the coaching comes in.
I see your point.
I think I'll meet the Dallas O line. That's always generous of you.
Don't get used to it, Bill.
That's surprising.
Yeah, don't get used to it, guys.
Yeah, John is a fair man.
I can see nothing.
He always gives a trainer plane a chance to get away.
There's always a but.
Yes.
I'll reserve my
points. But getting back to Dallas, yeah, you had the injuries. That's why you have the backup. And that's where the coaching comes in, because you can design defensive schemes around weaknesses.
But your backups have to be, today, they have to be almost as good as the first guys.
That's why they're in the NFL to begin with.
They have to be. You can't, when you say backup, you have to say, gee, on another team, these guys would be...
Could be starters on another team. Right. And some teams have that luxury where they have a couple of backups who can actually play on a starting role on another team. You might have 7 good offensive linemen, so you start your 4 best and you rotate. I don't know that the Cowboys, because of the injuries, had that. Number one. Number two, we're sort of getting us astray here. The bottom line is that the head coach is responsible.
Exactly.
And, you know, you might say, well, gee, okay, the line didn't play well, so I can give Prescott a bye. I can give Elliott a bye. But what about the head coach? He's got to make the adjustments. He didn't do it. So maybe to your point, it wasn't that he badly coached the offensive line, but Jason Garrett didn't run that team in a way so as to minimize the exposure of the injured offensive line.
My point, but let me give you another example.
And also, he had 9 chances
here
to do it.
Look at what happened with the Packers and LaFleur that came in this year. I mean, LaFleur came in.
Nobody remember, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill. We were here in July, and Pat was sweating bullets that her team wasn't going to win 9 games. Do you remember that?
She was worried. Who's the LaFleur guy?
And what did they finish?
Minnesota.
13-3. Yep. She's worried about Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. She's shaking in her booties. And I'm like, Pat, you got Mitchell Trubisky in your division. You got Kirk Cousins in your division. And who's the guy in Detroit? Got the big
Stafford.
Yeah, Matt Stafford, who I actually like. I think
he's actually a decent quarterback.
But my point is, you got Aaron Rodgers.
But you know, the point, though, is this. Good coaching staffs find those diamonds in the rough. Let me give you an example.
I'll give you a better one.
Okay, here's my example. The Eagles have everyone who can catch a ball go down hurt. Out of the practice squad comes Greg Ward, who has a tremendous game against Dallas. Out of nowhere, who was this guy? We couldn't figure it out. He's catching everything. It's like we had another DeSean Jackson. Now, Zach Ertz.
Let me
Ertz,
tell you the best, though.
Go ahead.
And everybody knows this. When Lombardi went to Green Bay, he picked up a 1-11 team.
Right.
There were no changes that next year in the players.
In the personnel.
And he...
He did have a draft, and they picked up a couple of top college players. But by and large, the team was intact.
All there. I mean, I don't remember anybody that he drafted that was better than the guys who were there.
Probably true.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he inherited great guys like Jim Ringo. Taylor, Curly
but
Nelson.
But I think Pat's point is he helped mold them into good players.
They had the
physical ability, the athleticism, and he was the glue that held the team together and that individually coached up those players.
And remember something, you know, people like to talk about that unusual experience, whether it's the Black Swan or Halley's Comet. There's a reason they give out the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the Super Bowl, and that's because he was a phenomenal coach.
He
was really the model that everybody else should admire.
Who was it, Pat, who was the Packer who said they hated his guts, but they loved him?
Was that all of them?
All of them.
Maybe it was Paul Hornung. I'm not sure.
Might have been Hornung. You're right.
Paul, he was kind of nice too, but I'll never forget. I think it was Dave Robinson who said,
middle linebacker,
when a coach tells me to sit, I don't even look for a chair.
That's a great line.
Well, you're right. I do remember that.
But remember, getting back to Dallas, there were some real deficiencies in the offensive line coaches and the special teams coaches.
By the way, they also had Amari Cooper at wide receiver.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. So again, make your case for Dak Prescott.
And Witten is I've always liked Witten.
Yeah.
And
and he came back and played well. I mean, he's possession receiver.
Cooper played well.
Exactly.
Cooper played very well in the game they
lost
to the
Eagles.
Good
for him because he's a horrible, horrible TV guy.
Look,
I have to tell you, one of the nicest guys personally.
Yeah, I believe he's very well liked.
Well, I told you the story about how we were in Appleton having dinner.
That's right.
He came in and, my grandson.
Who is a Cowboys fan.
Who is a Cowboys fan went up and, Witten signed his something or another. And
it's pretty cool.
He said he would do it. I mean, He didn't even. Dylan didn't even ask him.
That's pretty cool.
He really was. He was. He's a classy guy. But in any event, this weekend, I'm hoping against hope. What are the odds against my poor Packers?
I thought the spread was 4.5 and in San Francisco's favor. We'll see what it is now because. I think as the week has gone on, as you know, this late in the season, injuries start to play a huge role in, the estimated, it's up to 7.5 points. So the 49ers are more than a touchdown favorite. Interestingly enough, the Chiefs are an even touchdown favorite over the Titans. Yeah.
Well, the Packers, and something we always talk about injuries. But, Brian Bulaga didn't play last week because he had the flu. And the flu has been going around the Packer locker room. So, he couldn't play at all. He woke up the morning of the game. I think it was the morning of the game with the flu. So let's hope that everybody in the Packers are healthy because I guess they should pay me not to go to the game. I thought I had a chance. I was going to go out.
You went to this championship game 5 years ago,
and you jinxed them.
Colin Kaepernick with the pistol
absolutely
dismantled the Packers. So, Pat, if you asked me, I wouldn't let you go to this game. You're bad luck.
Pat, glue yourself to the chair. Give your team a break.
Yeah, you were at my Giants game, too.
No. I was at 2 playoff games in San Francisco when the Packers lost.
Yeah, and the Giants game in Green Bay.
And I've been at the Giants game in Green Bay.
The Packers don't want you in.
And I was at the Dallas Packer game when the Packers lost.
Well, I guess what it boils down to, Pat.
Games. Oh, my.
I guess what it boils down to is the Packers may love you, but they don't want you at their games.
There you go.
I was at the Seahawks game, not this time, but the last time they played.
I remember that you were heartbroken
Packers,
with that catch in the corner of the end zone.
That was first game. I'm talking about a playoff game when the Packers then went on to your team. And lost.
That's right.
And a very controversial call.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but
Pat,
remember,
if somehow, as we wind down proceedings here, if somehow the Packers find a way, and quite frankly, If I were in Vegas today, and I won't be 9 weeks from today, I'll be in Vegas again. But if I were there, I would take the Packers and the points. I really think this game is going to be close. If somehow Green Bay manages to win this playoff game, would you be interested in going to the Super Bowl?
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, of course.
Bill, how it took her a microsecond to say that.
Oh, no,
right?
No.
We bring the sports guy show.
Trip of the century.
Where is the Super Bowl? In Miami,
Miami
this year?
Miami.
Miami's not one of my favorite places.
Mine either, but I would go.
The problem is getting tickets. We were going to go to Dallas.
Although, you know, how many people, I know people, at least two people, who have been to more than 40 Super Bowls.
Really?
They show up and they wait, and by the middle of the first quarter, you've got hundreds of scalpers out there just looking to get rid of the ticket
really?
For face value.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I tell you what, guys, if the Packers go,
the problem is not the ticket. It's getting a flight and finding a place to sleep.
Well,
because all the hotel rooms should be taken for hundreds of miles.
Well, I'll make your life easy. I have a cousin in Fort Lauderdale with a nice big house.
And what's her name, Bill?
Let's see. It's a couple.
You know, Miami's not as bad as New Orleans. You know, when we went to New Orleans for the game, we had to stay in Baton Rouge. And
that's a long ride.
New Orleans is such a small airport, we had to fly to Houston.
Yeah, and drive.
Because when we found out the Packers were going to the Super Bowl, you know, there were no flights, there were no hotel rooms. But Miami, hey, there are a lot more flights. Not only that, worst case scenario, you can drive. We drove 7 hours from Houston to New Orleans.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because my buddy Rick, who lives in Connecticut, he also stayed in Alabama. I guess he when one of the Super Bowls was in Houston. The 97 Super Bowl, that same Super Bowl he was at, and he had to drive two states over. There was nothing available.
Did he by any chance fly from Boston?
He flew from Boston.
We might have been on the same
flight.
Yeah,
you might have been on
That's
the same
funny.
Flight. Isn't that what? 1997, because
1997, Dave and I got on that flight in Newark. And the entire flight it
was.
From Boston,
I remember you telling me that
it was
all Patriots. Yeah,
Patriot fans.
Yeah.
And they were a lot noisier on the flight going down than they were on the flight coming.
Let me ask
down.
You
oh,
a question.
Oh, Pat, that's a real.
When
ding.
You got off that flight, did you and Dave immediately go and take showers? I would feel dirty being on an airplane full of Patriot fans.
Actually. They were pretty good. And,
okay.
Of course,
you got to remember something. In the 1997, the New England Patriots had not won anything.
That's right. They
other
were,
than
they
an were. Old AFL title in 1966.
Yeah.
Right.
But beyond that, they had not won anything. They had been crushed by the Bears 49-7, was that in 86, the 86 Super Bowl? And then they got beat by the Packers. That was the Desmond Howard game.
Right.
Where
right,
he ran
right.
back two touchdowns.
Right.
And you know what that night is also famous for, in my view?
A lot of drinking on Bourbon Street.
A lot of drinking on Bourbon
well,
Street.
Well, I was watching the game from New Jersey, texting with my buddy Rick, who was at the game. But after that game, I'll never forget this, they kept... Again, 1997, they kept promoting the X-Files. And after the game, the X-Files. I watched my first episode of the X-Files.
I love that show.
That night after the Super Bowl, and I saw Gillian Anderson for the first time.
Beautiful woman. Yeah. Oh, I love that show. My wife and I would watch the X-Files.
I never liked it.
And
well,
we always said the truth is out there.
Well, guys,
you gotta believe.
About 5 more minutes.
Well, Pat, speaking of you gotta believe, an old Fox Mulder byline. I mean, you know, again, I do give the Packers a more than a puncher's chance here. I give the Titans a puncher's chance in Kansas City. But
wouldn't
I
be cool? A Packers Titans
I don't think the networks.
It's not going to happen.
I don't
the networks won't like it.
They want that. They want a Kansas City Green Bay game because that is a replay of Super Bowl One.
And great storylines. Andy Reid used to be a coach there.
Correct. Correct. You know, there, that would be
Green
the
Bay.
Perfect.
I would love to see. Kansas City, Green Bay.
That would be my pick. I would want that Super Bowl.
Because I think that would be...
You know, it would be tough to sit through that game. As much as I admire Andy Reid and as much as I admire Andy Rodgers.
Well, from an Eagles point of view, if Kansas City wins
Mahomes,
a Super Bowl this
Rodgers
year,
matchup,
it's got to leave
wonderful.
A bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah. But a Mahomes-Rodgers matchup, wow.
Oh, but not only that, I'm telling you, if you're a real Eagles fan... You had to love Andy Reid.
Oh, everybody did.
He coached
his heart out for that team.
Yeah, he also had guys like Howie Roseman and the owner, and they were idiots for many, many years. They never made the right decisions.
I have so loved that he went to Kansas City and has done so well with the Chiefs. I mean,
but you know something, and that's why I do think they're a team of destiny in a way. If you look at how they lost the AFC Championship last year, they had it won. It was fourth down. Brady's pass is tipped. They intercept it. They fall down. All they have to do is snap the ball once and the game is over. All of a sudden, a little yellow flag comes out because the defensive end was an inch over the line, gave Brady a fourth down play.
Yep.
Of course he completes the pass. Of course they score the touchdown that ties it. And of course, I'll never forget, when they tied it, they won the toss, and you texted me, Pat, and said, Brady has the advantage. Because you could see what was going to happen. And it just all unfolded from there. That, to me, was that was as close as you're going to get to Bill Buckner in 1986 with the Red Sox. And I'll end my philosophy on the show here, since we're ending the show here again talking about better to have played and lost than never to have played. When that tragedy happened in 1986, and I remember it like it was yesterday, and I'll cry to the day I die.
I don't even know what he's talking about, guys.
You know who Bill Buckner is. But, you know, it made 2004 all the sweeter. And when we encounter difficulty, when we lose, as it were, you have to keep the faith and remember there's a reason for it. And there's always a better tomorrow.
The adversity always makes the victory sweeter.
Exactly, Bill.
I disagree. Exactly. I want to win all the time.
Well, anyway, I didn't mean to imprint the end of the show with my pejorative philosophy, but it is existentialist in nature. And I know as a Catholic, I'm not supposed to be an existentialist.
I didn't know that.
If you read St. Manuel the Good Martyr.
Oh, come on. I'm going to play a commercial.
Jean-Paul Sartre.
Say goodbye, guys.
Oh, God.
Okay, folks, let's stay on that couch this weekend. Plenty of football.
Oh, my God, folks. I'm getting drowned out by these pagans.
And these guys, we'll see you next week. I won't be able to be here. Unfortunately,
hopefully Bill and I will be here. Hopefully, talking about a KC Green Bay Super Bowl.
Yep. Do I hope for that? Okay. I may even if that happens. If the Packers,
you may
win,
call
I'll
in.
Call in.
There you go, Pat. Have a good one, everyone. Great, enjoy the games.
That music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Get into it.
Everybody run down.
Get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.